Blog Talk Radio.
You certainly do. And we're providing information on the devotion by studying your God, Yah, and understanding what is required of you and not leaning to your own understanding. But before we get started, my brothers and sisters, my name is Yamsu Barif. If you don't know, now you know. But before you get started, I had the pleasure of seeing my Ima several hours ago. And I brought a laugh. I mean, she didn't smile. She cracked out laughing. And I got a chance to meet one of her nurses out of the three that we're providing round-the-clock care for. And I said, hey, mama. I said, I can get you now. I said, I ain't never been able to get you all my life. Now I can get you now. You're sick. You're laid up. You can't do anything. She couldn't do them starting laughing. And a brother of mine and one of my sisters was there. They started cracking up. And the statement was made in regards to me. He was a bad one. Mama said, yeah, that's right. And the nurse said, Mama, well, what would he say when you caught him in the wrong? He said, yes, ma'am. I've always been the humble sort, you know. Even when I was caught in the wrong, I've always been a humble sort. And I'm still a humble sort. I don't get abrasive. I don't get irate. I simply say, yes, ma'am. And I try to make corrections. And perhaps I suspect that's one of the reasons why the Most High chose me along with Cartrell to do the job that we're trying to do in regards to his word. Because when I'm caught in error, I don't get irate, fuss, cuss, and fight. I simply try to correct it. And as I said, it was a pleasure seeing my Ima smile today. I don't want to share that with you before we get started. You know, we've just finished our studies, the book of Amos. And now we're about to understand what's going to happen to our kinfolks, the Edomites, the descendants of Esau, the red one, the red hairy one. Yes, we're about to find out what's going to happen to him, too. He has conspired against us with other nations. He's done all he could and can as we speak with chicanery, deceit, to try to take our place. When the place wasn't given to him, he didn't respect his blessing. He sold it for a pot of porridge. Jacques had a little bit of chicanery himself. His mother put him in a position because his father's eyes were sort of dim. He couldn't see his son. And he knew that his son was hairy. So she placed the skin of hair upon Jacques' neck. And because his father's eyes were dim, he couldn't see that well. He placed the first right blessing upon our forefathers. That being said, let's turn to your book of Obadiah. We're about to learn what's going to happen to our kin folks. They're still at their mess. They're still with their tricks and chicanery. Still trying to undermine us as they did from the very beginning. And as I speak, they're still doing the very same thing this day and time. And it's only one chapter, but it's a power-packed chapter. A power-packed chapter. May the Most High bless you by the reading and studying of his word. And most importantly, the application. Obadiah had a vision that the Most High sent him. And thus Yah the Elohim concerning Edom, our kinfolk. We have heard a report from Yah, and a messenger has been sent among the nations, saying, arise, let us rise up against her for battle. And who is he referring to her? You will find. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. They're not even a nation anymore as they used to be. They're a small remnant. You shall be greatly despised. And look in your mind's eye and see the people in relationship to what the Most High is talking about. You shall be greatly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who dwelt in the clefts of the rock, you know, they study, they and the nation of Esau was in Mount Seir. And it's, and Edom is red. And the funny thing about it, Mount Seir is red. And their habitation were high. You Edomites, remnant of Esau, you who say in your mind, who will bring me down to the ground? Though you sit high as an eagle in your habitation, though you set your nest among the stars in your habitation in Mount Seir, from there I will bring you down, says Yah. If thieves had come to you, if robbers by night, oh, how you would be cut off. Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If someone had come upon you, a thief or a robber, wouldn't they have just quit after they got enough? But not you. You didn't have enough of my nation. You didn't quit. You kept on keeping them. If grape gatherers had come to you, would they not have left some gleaning? But that was not your attitude against your kinfolk. Oh, how Esau shall be searched out. It will search you out. How his hidden treasures shall be sought after. And they certainly still do. All the men in your confederacy shall force you to the border. The men who you conspired against my nation shall force you to the border. The men at peace with you shall deceive you and prevail against you. Those who eat your bread shall lay a trap for you. All your conspiracies will come to nothing. No one is aware of it now. Will I not in that day, says Yah, even destroy the wise men from Edom and understanding from the mountain of Esau, Mount Seir? Then your mighty men, they had mighty men too. Old Timon shall be dismayed to the end that everyone from the mountains of Esau, Mount Seir, may be cut off by slaughter. So you won't be a nation anymore also. For violence against your brother, this is why I'm doing this, your brother Yaqub, his remnant shall cover you. Their blood shall cover you. You shall be cut off forever from the land. And that day that you stood on the other side, and the day strangers carried away captives, his forth, and the day you sat by the sidelines, as other nations came against my nation, and you are their kinfolk. When foreigners enter their gates, the gates of Yaqub, and cast lot for Jerusalem, even you were there as one of them. Even you were with them to bring your brothers, your kinfolk down. But you should not have gazed on the day of your brother. You should not looked on in complacency and lethargicity. And you conspired against them on that day of his captivity. Nor shall you have rejoiced over the children of Yehuda. You shouldn't have sat on the sideline. They got him. They got him. And I'm helping them out too. Oh, yes, sirree, Bob. Oh, yes, Rito, I'm feeling happy on the day of their destruction. Nor should you have spoken proudly in their day of distress. You should not have entered the gate of my people. You should not have went in with those others against them in the day of their calamity. Indeed, you should not have gazed on their affliction in the day of their calamity. Nor laid hands on their, put your hands on their stuff. On a substance in the day of their calamity. You should not have stood at the crossroads to cut off those among them who escaped. You should not have set yourself up to track them down as they tried to escape. Nor should you have delivered up those among them who remain in the day of their distress. For the day of Yah upon all the nations in there. I'm going to get every one of them. All your conspiracies. I'm going to get you too. As you have done, it shall be done to you. What you did to your brother, Yaqub, shall be done to you. Your reprisal shall return upon your head. You're going to reap what you sow. For as you drink on my holy mountain, you shouldn't have been there. So shall all nations drink continually without let up. Yes, they shall drink and swallow, and they shall be as though they had never been. All your chicanery, all your confederacy, all your sneakiness, all your undermindedness, from the day of their destruction to wherever they are at, let me tell you what's going to happen. Edom, all that you did, but on Mount Zion, there will be a deliverance. And there shall be holiness. The house of Yaqub shall possess their possessions. The house of Yaqub shall be a fire. The house of Joseph, Ephraim, a flame. But your house, Esau, Edomites, shall be stubble. They shall kindle them and devour them. And no survivor shall remain of the house of Esau when I'm done with you. For Yah has spoken. What you did to your kinfolk from the very beginning until up until the moment I'm speaking, no survivor shall remain of the house of Esau, the Edomites. And Yah has spoken. Now I ain't lying. Now I'm going to go back on my word. The south shall possess the mountain of Esau. The lowlands shall possess Philistia. They shall possess the fields of Ephraim, the fields of Samaria. Benjamin, the tribe, shall possess Gilead. And the captives of the hosts of the children of Israel, the captives that are coming back, shall possess the land of the Canaanites as far as Zephariah, and the captives of Jerusalem who are coming back, or in Shavrat, shall possess the cities of the south. Then saviors, not a savior, the whole nations is saviors, not a savior. Then saviors shall come to Mount Zion to judge the mountain of Esau, and the kingdom shall be Yah's. All praises to the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I don't laugh at the destruction of my enemies. I've been told not to. But all for time is coming upon Esau, the remnant, for their chicanery, for their sneakiness, for their underhand, for their conspiracy, and for putting their hand on Most High folks. From the time of our captives up until this time, as I speak. That being said, listeners, I'm going to bring my brother Cartrell on. He's going to give you a double whammy. We like to give you a double dap. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, my brother, Brother Yamsu Fahri. May the Most High bless you and the family that's out there that's listening.
Thank you, brother. Thank you very much.
Like you said, man, it's a very powerful chapter in relationship to our brother Esau.
Exactly.
And what goes around comes around. It's the law of karma, right?
Truth be told.
But the Most High showed his mercy to our brother Esau for what he did. And the Most High lays out his rap sheet, and you really got to study his rap sheet, you know, to find out who he is in the world today. And
exactly.
It's pretty plain to see, you know, there's a people that's calling themselves Jews. And then the Most High talks about Joseph, he talks about Judah, and he talks about Israel. And you notice that Jewish people don't use those terms. Israelite, what is an Israelite? It definitely ain't a Jew. An Israelite is not a Jew.
Truth be told.
Every Israelite cannot be a Jew because there's only one tribe of Judah. If I'm from Joseph, how can I be a Jew?
Exactly.
If I'm from Levi, how can I be a Jew? If I'm from Benjamin, how can I be a Jew?
Exactly.
But like you said, he's deceived the world. He's taken our possession, taking possession of our possessions. And
you put your hand on their stuff.
You heard of the story of the prince and the pauper?
Exactly.
You remember that story?
Somewhat vaguely, my brother, somewhat vaguely.
Well, in brief, there was a prince of this kingdom, and he wanted to see what the common folks lived like, looked like, you know, felt like, because he was like, you know, being trained as a royal prince.
Now you're refreshing my memory. Yep.
There was a young man in the town that looked just like him, exactly like him, as a matter of fact, and they changed clothes. The prince and the pauper. So the pauper around.
I wonder where they got that from too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting because my book has a little more sting in the interpretation of the Hebrew to the English.
You need to sing. I want to sing.
All right, I'm gonna take it from the top. It says, "This is what Sabin Yah says about Edom. We have heard a message from Yah. An envoy was sent to the nations to say, rise and let us go against her for battle." And how many nations have been fighting the Jewish people? Which is why they had to establish the land of Israel. Because they have been hated for so long by so many people, which is why they developed the term anti-Semitism.
Right.
He says, "See, I will make you small among the nations. You will be bitterly despised." Isn't he small amongst the nation? That little piece of land they got they call Israel?
Exactly.
Isn't he greatly despised?
Exactly.
Why is he despised? Because of his pride. Most of the pride of your heart has deceived you. You who live in the clefts of the rocks and make your home on the heights. Yeah, that's why we got high-rise apartment buildings.
Mm-hmm.
High-rise apartment buildings. They live in the heights and the clefts in the rocks. You say to yourself, "Who can bring me down to the ground? Though you soar like the eagle and make your nest amongst the stars," which is a reference to NASA space program.
Mm-hmm.
And the American Eagle. We know that this is the Greco-Roman Empire. We know that Edom was behind the Greek Empire, and it continues to this day. And we know that the richest people on earth are the Jewish people. The Rockefellers, the DuPonts, the Mellons, they call them the power elite. They're the people that they talk about who want to reduce world population. But he may soar like the eagle and make his nest amongst the stars. Most I said, "From there, I will bring you down," declares Yah. He says, "If thieves came to you, if robbers in the night, oh, what a disaster awaits you. Would they not steal only as much as they wanted?" So that's the question. If a thief's going to rob you, he's going to only take what he wants. He ain't going to take everything you got.
Exactly.
Including your identity. That's the biggest theft you got now, identity theft, right?
Exactly.
Would they not leave you a few grapes? But how Esau will be ransacked, right? Your book don't say ransacked. His hidden treasures pillaged. So we know that they are very rich. All your allies will force you to the border, which is where he's at now. He's surrounded by hostile nations. That's why the Middle East is such a tinderbox. And who is he surrounded by? Your friends will deceive you and overpower you. Yeah, because Ishmael, all those nations sat down with them to divide up our land amongst themselves. If we go back to the 83rd Psalm, to destroy the nation in the name of Yisrael, that it will be a name that will never be remembered. And then here come Esau saying that he's Israel. And Ishmael says, "No, you're not." That's why you can't have this land. That's why they've been fighting him ever since, what,
1948? Y'all didn't give it to them. The Americans and Britain gave it to them. The remnants of the Roman Empire. The remnants of the Roman Empire gave it to them.
Yep. He says, "Those who eat your bread will set a trap for you, but you would not detect it." So Mosiah got things in store for Edom that he can't even see. He He's so wise. He's so brilliant. He's so intelligent. He's running the world. But there's things that he can't see.
He won't right? see it coming. He won't know what hit him.
Because in that day, Yah declares, will I not destroy the wise men of Esau, those of understanding in the mountains of Esau. So we see wise people turning real dummies right now, right? They don't know how to handle the pandemic. They want to open a business. They want to send children back to school. Are y'all stupid? We know we got a problem. There was a brother, a politician, that just died.
Herman Cain.
My man Herman, Donald Trump supporter, big-time Republican.
Yeah,
he's so
shot.
Bold, so brave, big shot.
Listening
talking
to
about,
a stupid.
And it cost him his life. He ain't wearing no mask. He probably took some of that hydrochloric. He probably took some of that, man.
I don't doubt it, because, you know, that's his God. Whatever his God do, he followed him right down the trail.
And the next verse says, your warriors, Timon, will be terrified, and everyone in Esau's mountains will be cut down in the slaughter. So we know Esau is a bad man. Our brother is bad. We fought the Amalekites and the Edomites back in ancient times. There was a time Moses had to hold up his hands, and every time he dropped his hand, Edom had the advantage. So they had to have Joshua and I believe
Caleb.
It was. No, it wasn't Joshua. I mean, it wasn't Caleb. I think it was his father-in-law.
Okay.
They had to prop up his arms so that Israel could get their victory.
Right.
But he was a warrior before we became a nation. That's why Jacob had to split up his camp. He had like 400 men with him, Esau. And he was ready to fight him. Unfortunately, he fought the angel, and the angel changed his name and his whole vibration. But he was prepared to fight Esau, who was already becoming a nation. He had dukes and regiments. The Most High say he's going to get him because of the violence against your brother Jacob. You will be covered with shame. You will be destroyed forever. So he's given Esau time, plenty of time, to get himself together and to make amends and to repent and to give Jacob back that which belongs to Jacob. Right?
Come clean.
But he said, on the day you stood aloft while strangers carried off his wealth and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them. To this day, they battling over Jerusalem. Donald Trump stuck his 2 cents in there and pushed it towards our brother Esau, making Jerusalem the capital of Israel, which it is. It's the capital of Yah's kingdom. But y'all cast the lots for it, and y'all don't belong it. You should not gloat over your brother in the day of his misfortune. So they gloating over us now. We in the ghetto. We struggling for equal rights, civil rights, Black Lives Matter. They gloating over that. They looking at us. Nor rejoice over the people of Judah on the day of their destruction. And they see our destruction and know that it's us struggling to get back, you know, to where y'all wants us to be.
Mm-hmm.
Nor boast so much in the day of their trouble. You should not march through the gates of my people in the day of their disaster. Nor gloated over them in their calamity in the day of their disaster, nor seized their wealth in the day of their disaster. You should not wait. You should not have waited at the crossroads to cut down their fugitives. So he was planning our full destruction. I mean, it's one thing to watch us get beat up by other nations, but then he knew our escape routes and he cut them off and slayed us?
Exactly.
Our own brother?
Exactly.
So Yah remembers all this. That's why he had the prophet over Obadiah, who only has one chapter. But his name means servant of Yah. And he saw the vision that Yah wanted him to write because it's directed at our brother. He said, in that day, declares Yah, will I not destroy the wise men of Edom? I went too far back.
Mm-hmm.
The day of Yah is near for all nations. So he's not only wanting Esau, but he's wanting all the nations that have put their hands on the Most High's people, right? As you have done, it will be done to you. That's what they don't want.
Mm-hmm.
That verse right there, as you have done, it will be done to you. And that's their greatest fear. And why shouldn't it be? You dished it out. You can't take it. Your deeds will return upon your own head. J- Just as you drank on my holy mountain, so all the nations will drink continually. They will drink and drink and be as if they had never been. So he's talking about that cup of fury because he's about to pour it out. But on Mount Zion will be deliverance. Your book says saviors.
Right.
Plural. It will be holy. And Jacob will possess his inheritance. Right? So that hasn't happened yet, has it?
No, it hasn't.
This judgment hasn't happened yet. And it wasn't done by the, like you said, American and British government back in 1948. That wasn't it. That's not what this is talking about.
No.
Jacob will be a fire and Joseph a flame. Esau will be stubble and they will set him on fire and destroy him. There will be no survivors from Esau. Yah has spoken. Now, we ain't saying this. The Most High is saying this.
Exactly.
And he sees more than we see. He knows more than we know. And he understands way better what the situation is than we do, because we in calamity and we in disaster. So we can't even see straight. He said, people from the Negev will occupy the mountains of Esau, and the people from the foothills will possess the land of the Philistines. And that's another land that's in dispute, Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Palestinians is fighting for Palestine. But Yah's going to clear all that up. They will occupy the fields of Ephraim and Samaria, and Benjamin will possess Gilead. This company of Israelites, and he say Jews, exiles who are in Canaan will possess the lands as far as Zarephath. Again, the land of the Canaanites, that's Ham's son. Those are black people. That's a black land. The land of Canaan is a black land. It's changed over time. It don't look the same now. But you can find some original Canaanites that never left the land. They didn't go into captivity. There's some Canaanites that live in the land. The exiles from Jerusalem who are in Sepharad will possess the towns of the Negev. You know the Negev is a desert right now, right?
Right.
But underneath it must be fertile land. And we're going to be having it as a possession and build towns.
Right.
He says saviors or deliverers will go up on Mount Zion. Go ahead.
The Most High must have covered it over, made it desert.
That's what he said. I'm going to make your land powder and dust, straight up. That's why people are fighting over it today. Why are they fighting over a land that's just a desert, powder and dust?
Right.
You can't figure it out unless you read this.
Exactly.
So your book says saviors, my book says deliverers, will go up on Mount Zion to govern the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom will be whose?
Ours.
No, it says Yah.
No, my apologies. I mean,
quick question.
I was getting caught up in the hours, but I know it's Yah's, man.
The kingdom will be Yah's. He is the king.
Exactly.
We read in Amos. He got that palace built, and the foundation is on earth. That's his kingdom coming. The kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Truth be told.
Yep.
Truth be told. Well, thank you, Contrail. Thank you. It was powerful. Power-packed chapter. That'd be real, listeners. And that just kind of goes along with this chapter. There's a time for everything. Chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes. Turn to it, please. That everything, there is a season, a time for every purpose under the heavens. A time to be born. Time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to cry, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones. And a time to gather together stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. King Solomon understood that for every purpose under the heaven, the Most High is set a time for everything. And even that being said, you need to find out what time it is. What time it is. Yah's given tasks. What profit has the worker for all that is which is he labor? Question. I've seen Yah given tasks with which the sons of men are to be occupied, to do. Yah made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he put eternity in their hearts, in their minds.
He did what?
Except he put eternity in their minds.
Wow.
Except that no one can find out the work that Yah does from the very beginning. No one can really say what Yah has done from the very beginning to the end. Because you ain't there. Only wisdom. She was there. No one can find that.
That's saying that when Yah says he's placed eternity in our heart, it means that we haven't tapped into it.
Exactly.
Especially if you say from the beginning to the end. If you have eternity in your heart, you should have that spiritual eye to see into eternity.
But we can't see it. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. This is the best thing. Rejoice in the Most High. And do what? Do good in their lives. And also that every man should eat and drink your humble measure and enjoy the goods of all his or her labor. It's the gift of Yah, your humble measure. I know that whatever Yah does, I don't care what anybody tells you. I don't care what the Roman Catholic Church tells you. I don't care what your religion tell you. I know that whatever Yah does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it. Yah's not going to add nothing what they're saying to it. And nothing can be taken from it. Yah is not going to let nobody take anything from what he said. No one can take nothing from it. Not the Council of Nicene or no one else. Yah does it that men should fear before him. The reason Yah does what he do, so men should fear before him, have a healthy respect for him. That which has already been and what is to be has already been. Ain't nothing happening that ain't happened before. As Yah requires an account of what is past, Yah will require an account of what is past, as we found out indicative of our cousins, our brothers, Esau and Edom, and certainly my brothers and sisters in your own personal lives. Your job is to do good and not lean to your own understanding and not add anything from Yah's word nor take anything from it. Moreover, I saw under the sun, King Solomon is being meditative in the place of judgment. Wickedness was there. They were there present. And in the place of righteousness, iniquity was there. In the place of righteousness, iniquity was there too. They had iniquity in them. It was there too. I said in my mind, Yahshua does the righteous in the wicked, both of them. For there is a time there for every purpose and for every work, as I indicated in the above chapters. In my heart, concerning the condition of the sons of men, Yah tests them that they may see that they themselves are like animals. You're no better than animals. The only difference is the animals do what I said and you do what you want to do. For what happened to the sons of men also happened to the animals. When your time is up, just like animals, their time is up. One thing shall befall them. When their time is up, your time is going to be up. As one dies, so the other dies the other. Surely, that's why you shouldn't mistreat animals. Surely, They have all one breath, which I breathed into them, the animals and the sons of men. And the sons of men has no advantage over animals, for all is vanity. Ego run amok. Yo, my brother.
If we ain't no better than animals, what makes some people think they're superior to others?
Vanity. Ego run amok and excessive pride. He answers his question. And certainly, this wisest man in the world is quite correct. And he says, all go to one place. All are from the dust and shall return to dust. Who knows?
Well, we think we all that.
We ain't nothing. We ain't nothing special. And a question is put. He says, who knows that the breath I breathe, the spirit of the sons of man, who knows whether it goes upward, or the spirit of the animal which I breathe in them, which it goes to the earth? You don't even know that. And no one knows that. For I perceive that nothing is better than a man should rejoice in his own works. For that is his heritage. His humility. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him? Can't nobody. I can't bring Cottrell to see what will happen after him, after he's gone. Cottrell can't bring me to see what happens to me after I'm gone. Neither one of you can bring to each other what's going to happen to each other after you're gone. And who knows the spirit of the sons of men, that their spirit goes up into heaven. And the animals, their spirit goes. You can't answer that question. Only y'all can answer that question. And that's what King Solomon is getting at. You can't answer anything. You don't know that much. You have an iota of what you ought to know. And certain things that you don't know. Only y'all knows. Okay? Stop trying to play like you're y'all. You're not y'all. Well, Cottrell, my brother, you have any commentaries on that?
Did you read verse 22?
I perceive that nothing is better than that a man should rejoice in his own works. For that is his heritage. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him? No one can but Yah. And you need to humble yourself in your own works. The works that Yah has given to you and prescribed to you, or the land that Yah has given to you or prescribed to you. Are the words that Yah has given to you or prescribed to you. You shouldn't try to be something extra special. And that's that on that. Contrary, your commentaries, my brother.
There's a lot being said in this. We see that King Solomon snapped back. He got out of that depression. He was talking about he hated life.
Real quick. That boy had some snapback.
Yeah, he did. He said wisdom never left him. So now he's like expounding a little bit more. So many people make reference to this, that there's a time and a place for everything under the sun.
Mm-hmm. But what they don't take is
whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before. Wow.
That's that
about
only?
That. You got to think
nothing.
About that.
Yeah.
And Elohim will call the past to account. So, as long as your past is good, as long as your works are good, that's the gift that the Most High has given you. He says, everything is meaningless unless you know you're doing the right thing by Yah. So to each of them, that they may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all of their toil, this is a gift from the Most High. And I know that everything Elohim does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing can be taken from it. Elohim does it so that people will fear him. And that's the path we need to get on, fear Yah, because everything's already set. People don't like to, you know, talk about predestined. Things are already predestined. Everything is predestined. It was already set in motion from ancient times. But well, yeah, King Solomon gives you a lot to think about.
Yeah, the plan is predestined, but you can have a choice in your matter. The plan is predestined, but you have a choice. You can go left or right. It's all on. Most I ain't make you go left or right. That's up to you. You got a choice in the matter. You're a little bit different than animals. A little bit different. You have a choice.
And he's merciful. Like he gave Esau time. You know, they have time. They've read that. How long that been in writing, the book of Obadiah? For thousands of years now.
He gave us ample opportunity.
Huh?
He gave us plenty of time to.
Gave us plenty of time. He gave all mankind plenty of time. He ain't destroyed us completely. I'm sure he probably wanted to in Noah's time. Like, it grieves me that I made man because he's evil from his youth. Then you're going to challenge him at the Tower of Babel. And then you're going to run him around Sodom and Gomorrah. And here we are now in 2020. People shooting rockets to the moon. We polluted the air, the water, the fish, the animals. We've destroyed Yah's work. All mankind. We all got a part in it. We got to acknowledge it so we could get cleaned up. And Yah renew his creation, and you be a part of it. But he lays all that out, and he gives you the antidote, how to be a part of it. And it ain't just Israel. He said all the nations that are called by his name. So Esau still got a slight sliver of a chance if he do the right thing.
I would suggest Esau take that chance. Dealing with what we're dealing with, I would tell my brother, take that chance, man. Take that chance. Because you don't want to go through what we went through.
Oh,
take the shot.
As you have done, it would be done for you. Woo wee.
Right.
I don't know if they can handle what we went through.
I'm hoping you take the shot, Esau. Take the shot. Take the chance. You don't want to go through this. You don't want none of this.
And we all got to get right by Yah. It ain't just you. It's you and me too, bro.
We're
still brothers.
We still brothers.
You did the right thing.
We still love you. We still love you, bro. Do the right thing.
Didn't Joseph give his brothers a chance after they threw him a well and threw him in the pit and sold him and told his father that a wild beast must have killed him?
But he still loved him.
Oh, yeah. He still loved him. Yep. And he did the right thing by them, didn't he?
Exactly.
That's brotherhood, bro.
And we'll do the right thing by our kind. Just do the right thing, man. Just do the right thing. That's the only thing you got to do. This ain't hard. Just do what's right.
But in reading this, because we're talking about nations and people, but let's bring it down to a minute level. How do we treat each other? We call each other brother. Yo, brother, my sister. How do we treat our brothers and sisters? Do we follow these principles? Or are we on the same path like Esau, where we tear each other down and mock and boast when we see our brother and cut him off and take his stuff? And yeah, we do that too, to each other. We point our finger at Esau, but we do it to each other.
We ain't no better. That's why I'm willing to get Esau passed. Esau get right, and we get right with Esau.
Esau's a brother. He's doing the same thing all the other brothers is doing to us. Yeah, true that. Ishmael's our cousin. What he doing? He ain't in too. But all the families of human are related. We all come from Noah. You calling us Ham, but we know we Shem. But we all family. And Yah is the king. And it's his kingdom that's coming. Are y'all ready for it? You just ready to know what die. Yah's kingdom is coming. Is mankind ready for Yah's kingdom? Are the nations ready for Yah's kingdom? We trying to prepare them because they're not going to see it coming out. I know they think we crazy, but we reading wisdom, bro. True wisdom. We ain't reading Western philosophy. We ain't reading Oriental philosophy. We reading our ancient fathers and the Most High's words philosophy. So I'm going to read Psalms 30.
Okay. We're all ears, brother.
Yes. The famous words of our King David. He has so many beautiful words, so many beautiful psalms. This one, wow. I'll exalt you, Yah, for you lift me up out of the depths. Now, don't we want Yah to do that for us? Because we definitely in the depths.
Truth be told, my brother. Truth be told.
How do you get up out the depths?
Yah.
You got to exalt Yah.
Exalt
Him. Yeah, you got to exalt Yah. So Yah got to be in your mind. Yah got to be in your conversation. Yah got to be in your praise. Yah got to be in your prayers. That's exaltation. That's the way King David showed us. And do not let my enemies gloat over me. Our enemies gloating over us? They're about to put their boot in our neck for good. They cutting off the extension of the $600, the little chump change they was giving us. Meantime, they gave billions to corporations that already got money that they gave tax cuts to. They about to put their boot in our neck. So what we got to do? Yah, my Elohim, I called to you for help. And you healed me. You, Yah, brought me up from the realm of the dead and spared me from going down to the pit. Sing praises to Yah, you, his faithful people. What's he supposed to do? He's giving us instruction now. I know a lot of people singing to the wrong person. Y'all singing the wrong name. Especially on Sunday. Sing praises to Yah, you, his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, Torah Yah. But his favor lasts a lifetime. We may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. So just like we read by his son King Solomon, time and place for everything. A time to laugh, a time to cry, a time to dance, and a time to mourn. We want to rejoice. We've been mourning for a long time. It's time to rejoice. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Yah, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. And why are we dismayed? Because the Most High is hiding his face from us. And why is he hiding his face from us? Because we're not trying to seek out his face. Got it? To you, Yah, I call. This is how King David finds Yah in his time of need. And anytime he wants to call on him, Yah will answer him. To you, Yah, I call. And Yah, I cry for mercy. What is gained if I am silent? If I go down into the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Yah, and be merciful to me. Yah, be my help. You turn my wailing into dancing. Oh, that's where King Solomon got it from. Mm-hmm. Wailing into dancing. And remove my sackcloth and close me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Yah, my Elohim, I will praise you forever. Now, excuse me. How is King David going to praise Yah forever unless he can live forever? And did he just say that he put eternity in our heart? And we don't even know what happens after we die. And when he says he's going to bring King David back, we don't even know that realm. But he's trying to give us hints and clues, but we may miss it because we're blind.
Exactly.
And we're not on that level yet. King David said, I'm going to praise you forever. Me too, King David. Me too. I want that everlasting life to praise Yah because he's my king. And I've learned to adapt just like King David adapted early, young, 14. All I did was read King David's Psalms. That's what got me through. That's what gave my strength, at least spiritually. I didn't know what else to do. I'm lonely. I'm talking about committing suicide. Most of us said read the Psalms.
True be told.
And believe me, it gives you so much strength and perception and understanding what the world is today and what life is, really.
Exactly.
Not according to Western understanding or what they taught us in school, but according to what Yah wants us to know about him and about ourselves.
Exactly. Well, Katria, my friend, well, listeners, are we enjoying our study session today? Katria.
Yes, sir.
My dear friend and brother, before we get ghost, as they say, do you have any closing remarks?
I just want to give honor and praise to the Most High Yah that he's continuing to preserve and heal your Ima. I pray that he gives her back her full strength.
If you get a chance, Scott Trey, you can go on Foodbook. You can see the picture I took with her.
I saw it.
Oh, okay.
Hey, you look like you're in pretty good shape, man. What you doing, jumping jacks and push-ups and sit-ups and all that?
You know what, that's what my sister was telling the lady, the nurse, the lady, my sister said, you know, she said, you know how old my brother? She said, no. She said, not none of y'all look old. I said, yeah, since I be 64. She said, and my mama 58, she don't look nothing like y'all.
And I was, my landlord came up to my apartment and he said he's going to be 51 next week.
Right.
He told me he got high blood pressure, rheumatoid arthritis, he got back aches. And I'm like, how old are you?
And
he said, I'm
going to
be 51 next week. Huh?
I didn't have 50-something. I didn't have none of that.
Me neither.
I just started having it. I just started having that probably back in 61 or something like that. I wouldn't have that in no 50-something. Man, shoot, I could run with the Eagles. Not the Philadelphia Eagles neither, but I could run.
But I think we like of the same mindset because for me, I was heavy all my life and I was determined not to be a fat old man because I worked in a nursing home and I see how, you know,
how long struggle. How long did you work there, Country?
Not too long, bro. Not too long. I had to get out of there. The way they treat our elders in nursing homes, I would have killed somebody. You know what I'm saying? They throw food in their face. I didn't know what a bed store was until I saw an old white man laying in bed, and I could see his bone through his leg.
Now, you see why we cannot afford to put our EMA in no. That's what they suggested. Put
Lord have mercy.
That. It's not going to happen. So that's why I hustle all praise to Yah, the Exalted One, to make sure that her recovery, I give my EMA the fighting chance. I give my EMA a fighting chance, bro. And that's why I do.
Leave that place, man, because they have no regard. Those people are working there for the money. You would think that they're in there for compassion and want to help people and heal people. Hell no. I had to leave because, trust me, I didn't want that temperament on me, and I didn't really want to actually hurt somebody with what I saw going on in a nursing home. They probably would arrest me and throw me in jail, bro.
Me and you both. I'd have cracked somebody's jaw. I'd have broke somebody's neck.
You feeding somebody, you're going to throw the food in their face? They can't help themselves. They need to eat.
No.
And you frustrated, you're going to throw the food in their face?
Man,
if that be my mother or my grandmother or somebody I know and you treat them like that and I saw you.
So you know what I would have said?
I had to get out of there, man. I'm sorry.
You know what I would have said? You got five seconds. Get up out of this room.
They would have visitors who would bring them stuff and the workers would take the stuff that the visitors would bring them. I'm like, come on.
I believe it. People
I know
evil.
It. Yo, I've seen evil.
Yeah.
And I had to leave. I stayed there maybe 90 days.
Right.
I was supposed to become a union, but I said, nah, I'm not gonna join 1199 and stay here and watch this. Because what power do I have? I'm just an orderly, a nurse's helper.
Right.
And what kind of say do I have?
Mm-hmm. And one thing, Country, not cutting you off, and you were asked about my weight. Well, I guess I was weighing probably about, I've been weighing basically the same weight since 1989, I was weighing about 220 pounds. But
you're ex-Marine, and you got discipline. Yeah. You got people staying home now. And they done loaded up their house with food. They ain't got nowhere to go. They not getting no exercise. So they blowing up.
No, I cut the weight down because I do a lot. I ride about 120 miles on stationary bike, about 120 miles a month. I do my exercise. So I weigh now probably about 205 pounds. I done cut 15 pounds off of the 220 that I normally carried from 1989. I carried that 220 pounds. So I said, man, you can drop to about 200 or either 199. You'd be good. So the weight I'm carrying now is close to my normal weight. I should be at probably about 200, 199. So I'm about five pounds shy of my goal is to get to about 200, 199. So I don't just sit around eating Bun Buns and cupcakes, believe you me. And I take what Yah has given me seriously. He's given me the opportunity to be quite healthy, and I'm appreciative. So I don't try to take it for granted.
And you have to take care of your health, especially now.
Exactly.
Your immune system and your physical health. But I was up there, 220, 215.
Yeah.
And I'm way shorter than you. I'm 5'9" and a quarter.
You're 3 inches. You're 2.5 inches shorter than me. My dog, come on now, player. You know you should have been no 220. Come on now.
I was up there, cousin. Fat Steve.
Yeah, I see you like that. You like that Kentucky Fried Chicken and Church Chicken, didn't you?
Nah. It was mom's home cooking.
Oh, mama throwing down, bro.
What?
Was
like nobody
down?
Else I know.
what about your wife? Can she cook like mom?
Not at all, which is why I took my skills from my mother so I could teach my wife my mother's skills.
So you taught your wife your mother's skills? Can she cook like
some
your mom now?
She could cook. My wife could cook before I met her, but not like my mother. There's certain things I had to show her, you know,
okay,
to make it like mom's.
Right.
You know how that is.
Yeah, no, nobody's food like mom. I don't care. Bro, I can go with mom now if mom was healthy. And mom, what is that dish she I don't know what that dish is with broccoli and cheese and whatnot, you know, where she bakes it in the oven and rice and whatnot. Man, dog, I think it's quiche. Quiche.
Yeah.
I think what it is, quiche. And man, that dish will make you want to slap your mama, but don't even think about it. Okay? But I'll tell you what, Cartrell, it was a pleasure to hear her. Yeah, she didn't smile when I was joking with her, because I did a Muhammad Ali stand. I said, get up, mama. Get up now. I'm ready for you now. You sick? You can't swing? I said, It's time now, lady. Let's do it. Mama didn't crank out.
Crazy.
Like, she said, yeah, boy, I beat your butt. I'm going to get up one of these days and try you again. And I had a laugh. That made me feel good, too, brother. Made me feel good.
You blessed Imam Wendy Pettis, wasn't there?
Oh man, I am. I hope she ain't listening.
She would have pulled that liquor stick out.
I hope she ain't listening to the show. Tenderoni? Now I know you about talking crazy to me, Tenderoni. What you gonna do? And don't be talking crazy about your mama. And God damn, bro, God, you know I love you. Don't be instigating.
That's true, bro.
Hey, bro.
But we used to live in the suburbs, and
yeah,
we moved to the city. We moved to Harlem,
right.
And I got
right.
depressed. So I just started raiding the refrigerator, midnight raid, son.
What time did y'all leave, Katja? How old were you then when y'all left Harlem?
I was about 10 years old.
Right.
My split up with my stepfather.
Oh, we all moved
with my grandmother.
Right. How long did you stay with grandma?
Not too long, maybe 2 years. Then we moved out uptown Harlem.
Could grandma burn?
What? How do you think my mother know how to burn? Grandma's better than mom's.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't getting no science from grandma. Like, how you cook them oxtails, grandma?
Wait, was you one of grandma's favorites? Was she crazy about
it? Was I one of her favorite? No,
yeah.
I was not.
Me neither.
My sister.
Not with my
sister.
Mama.
My sister got everything from my grandmother.
Hey,
it's
well,
like grandma, where's mine?
Well, I'm the call to me not being favored. Being who I was, grandma had come to visit in Memphis from Chicago. And you know, I had a habit of sneaking in the kitchen and we in the midnight hour when everybody was sleepy, I was sneaking there and get me a sweet potato. I love raw sweet potatoes. I take it back to my bed. I guess my grandma must have said, what's going on? Why every night? In the wee hours of the night, and somebody creeping in. So grandma was waiting on me. I didn't see her. I guess I was around about 8 years old, eight, nine years old. I sleep there for my regular ritual, get your sweet potato, get back to bed, eat it under the covers. Grandma called me. You ever heard that song? Baby, come here quick and give me that licking stick. Grandma beat the brakes off me, and I'm going to tell you that. I said that at a funeral when grandmother died. I had everybody cracking up. I said, you know, I love that old lady. I said, she came to visit us. And everybody else couldn't catch it. They couldn't figure out who was this sweet potato thief.
Wait a minute. Raw sweet potato?
I love raw sweet potatoes, man.
Raw sweet potato?
Yeah, when I was little, I loved.
You think you'd like an apple?
Well, I'm not, I guess that's why my name is Yam Su.
No, I love sweet potato pie. That's my favorite. Nobody can cook sweet potato pie like my mom's. I didn't get that recipe, but she could bake it. But sweet potato pie? Well, raw sweet potato, though? Raw?
Yeah, hey, I think Ema Avillard cook. I ain't trying to put a bitters out there. She ain't too far from you. She ain't FedEx far from you, you know. And I ain't putting a bitters out there. Ema Avillard, I think, throw down like that. You know what I mean? I ain't putting the business out there. And she's too far from me.
I could dial to her house. She in the Bronx.
I ain't trying to put the business out there now, but, you know. All right. Brother, I appreciate you. Love you, brother.
Love you too, man. Most High bless you to be with the family.
Thank you very much, brother. May the Most High bless you too, brother. Be with your family. Looking forward to seeing y'all when Most High willing to get this opportunity. But that being said, I don't know, listeners, where you're going. Finna get ready to get out of here. You've been listening to my brother, Cartrell of New York City, and my name is Yam Su Arif. And we are due diligent in doing what is required of us by the Most High, putting his word out there, giving him exhortation, and helping you learn and be devoted to him so you won't lean to your own understanding and you can know what's required. Don't you want to know? What's required of you? Not by everybody else, but by the Creator. Everything else I would say, as King Solomon said, is vanity upon vanities. Know what your Creator requires of you and do it. That being said, listeners, I don't know where you're going, but you're going to get ready to get out of here. May the Most High direct and order your steps. Stop leaning to your own understanding. It is not working for you. It's working entirely against you. Trust the Most and acknowledge the Most High in all your ways and trust him. I assure you, your answers will become quite clear. Quite clear. I want to thank my brother again, Cartrell. I love you, brother. Thank you very much. I want to love you. I want to tell you, listeners, I love you too. Thank you very much. Not for listening. I ain't nothing. But for listening to the studies, that's something. That's truly something. And the application in your lives. May the Most High bless you. We love you, and good night. Shalom.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string. One that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home. That is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you wanna be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say, then you say you're moving on. Then you say I've got other plans. Oh, girl, oh, you're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction. So far away from me. You're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction. So far away from me. Thank you. you're moving in the wrong direction. So far away from me. I wish my mama was here. A strong, strong, steady rose. She would know what to do, what to say, how to pray to make things better. What does it mean when you say you want to be free? Take a glance in a world that's free of me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. Well, you're moving, well, you're moving. Well, you're moving, well, you're moving away. So far away, so far away from me, oh. Well, you're moving, 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 well, you're moving.